Monte Cassino by Sven Hassel. Narrated by Sammy Anderson. The supply columns blew up, unrecognizable lumps in the gorge of death. You can eat bark, leaves, even earth to help your hunger, but thirst? We discovered a shell hole full of water out in no man's land. A horde of rats was drinking avidly from it, and we flung a grenade at them, then flung ourselves down and drank. By the afternoon, bursting shells had emptied the hole. On the bottom were some distended corpses. They had been there a long time. We spewed our guts up, but the next day we found another shell hole and drank again. This was Monte Cassino. This age of compulsory military service has shown that whether a man is dressed in this uniform or that, whether he is on the side of the executioner or the victim, is not necessarily a question of deserts or even of character. Rolf Hochhuth. This book is dedicated to those who fell at Monte Cassino, monastery and fortress. One. God, how it rained. It poured and poured. Everything was sopping. Our mucky rain capes were long since wet through. We were sitting under some trees in a sort of tent made by buttoning capes together. They were SS capes and better than ours, and we were relatively dry. Tiny had also put up his umbrella. We had finally got the stove from the big house burning, and we were getting ready to dine. We had 40 starlings, which we were roasting on long sticks, and Porta was making marrow balls. It had taken us 2 hours to scrape that marrow out of the bones of 2 dead oxen. We had found some fresh parsley. Gregor Martin knew how to make tomato ketchup, which he was mixing in an American steel helmet. Steel helmets were practical things, capable of being used for lots of purposes. The only thing they were useless for was the purpose for which they were made. Suddenly we burst out laughing. It was Tiny's fault. He had made a classic remark without realizing that it was classic. Then Porter held up his yellow top hat and announced that we were to inherit it when he died. And we bellowed at that. Then by mistake Hyde pissed into the wind and we rolled about with laughter. And we were still laughing as we ran back with our food between the bursting shells. Once I heard a padre say to one of the staff officers, "How can they laugh like that?" That was the day we were laughing over Luisa Fattarsi's knickers, which Tiny was wearing tied round his neck, and I swallowed a piece of potato the wrong way and had to have my back pummeled with a hand grenade. Laughter can be pretty dangerous. "If they didn't laugh as they do," the staff officer replied, "they would not be able to carry on." Porta had a masterly hand with marrow balls. He made only 10 at a time, otherwise they went soggy, eating his own share in between. We ate over 600 between the 9 of us, which is quite a lot. But then we were at it all night. God, how it rained. The Leathernecks Land. The thunder of the guns could be heard in Rome, 170 miles away. We could not see the great men of war out at sea, but every time they fired a broadside, it was like volcanoes erupting on the horizon. First, there was a dazzling flash of fire, then a thunderous roar. They knocked our grenadiers cold. In the course of a few hours, our weak panzer regiments were rolled up. From Paninuro to Torre del Greco, the coast was a flaming furnace. Whole villages were wiped out in a matter of seconds. One bunker a bit to the north of Sorrento, one of our biggest that weighed several hundred tons, was sent flying high into the air along with the entire crew of its coastal battery. Then out of the south and
Sample complete. Ready to continue?